Be great if you can have your Bibles open at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, passage we read, page 1032. Verses 1 to 11. Now, throughout our lives, we all go through a very wide range of emotions. Emotions about ourselves. You take any year of your life, you reflect upon it, and you will see that there is a complex set of emotions that has gone through you. Because of various events, happenings, and people, then we respond differently. We're emotional people. And we will have experienced a whole orbit of emotions about ourselves. Sometimes those emotions can be nice emotions. We can be pleased with ourselves. We've accomplished a task. We can tick it off. We've passed an exam. We don't have to do it again. We've actually done some DIY and it stuck together and remained on the wall. That's great. We can feel good about ourselves sometimes. We can feel upbeat and satisfied. We've achieved some personal goal. We've beaten our personal best. We've hit a target. We're happy. And sometimes we can even like ourselves. We've kept a resolution we've made. And we've remembered a promise. And we've fulfilled it. And that's really nice times when it's like that. Sometimes, though, it's the complete opposite. And there can be those nasty emotions about ourselves. We hate ourselves. We can hate the way we look. We think we've got a bad hair life. We hate our attitude. We wonder why we can be so cynical. We wonder why when there's something so good that's happening that we can respond in such a negative way. We can feel bad about ourselves, think we don't do anything good at all, so we'll give up. Nothing ever works, and we've got the anti-Midas touch. And we can feel that our bodies are getting old. And we're not what we were, and we can't do what we once did. And we can be annoyed and frustrated and cross at ourselves because sometimes we do stupid things and say stupid things, and repeatedly so. A wide range of emotions. Nice emotions, nasty emotions. But have you ever felt ashamed of yourself? Why did I do that? Why did I go there? Why did I say that? Why did I agree to that? Why didn't I stop when I knew I should have stopped? Why did I do it? How could I do that? It's not a nice feeling. And when you feel ashamed of yourself, you want to crawl away and hide. This is just how Simon Peter felt about himself in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. At this particular point in his life, he felt totally ashamed of himself. It's a really awkward scene to begin with. In verse 1, it tells us that Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. So it starts off, this is the Sea of Galilee, it starts off by the Sea of Galilee, and then the action transfers to being on the Sea of Galilee. If ever you ever want to go and see the Sea of Galilee, another leaflet, come with me. Next year, 2014, 6th to the 15th of May, we'll go in. So we've got about 14 people signed up for that tour, not just from Hook, but from other places around the country as well. If you want to be part of that tour, get one of these leaflets, and this is what you will see. You will see the Sea of Galilee. It's just to entice you in. Nothing to do with the sermon. It's just a complete commercial ad. This is the Sea of Galilee at sunrise. It's about 4 o'clock in the morning. I just couldn't sleep. So excited. This is the Sea of the Galilee from the Golan Heights. I've got hundreds of these. Sea of Galilee from one of the villages of Galilee where Jesus went. Sea of Galilee again, and another one. Now, this is on the Sea of Galilee. Here I am walking on the water looking towards Tiberias. And there's some boats on the Sea of Galilee, which we go on, do a Hebrew dance on. And back to sunset. Now, that's enough. But if you want to go there and see it, it's really quite brilliant. Anyway, this is where they were. Literally on this, well, Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long, 7 miles wide. So this is just a little bit of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus was on this water, around this water to begin with. He was teaching people. And as he's teaching these people, they're all crowding around to hear the word of God. And Jesus has to get into this boat to stop being crowded by all these people, so he's got space to preach and to teach. And then this miracle takes place, and then this really awkward moment when Simon Peter is ashamed. Look at verse 8, picture it. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Now, this is really awkward. It would have been awkward for Simon Peter. It would have been awkward for you. If you'd been there on one of those boats watching this, you would have felt a little bit awkward that this was going on. Here was a grown man kneeling down, all the fish in the boat with Jesus there, and this grown man is kneeling at the knees of another man. And that's like, we don't often see that. And it's no little thing for Simon Peter to do. He actually did it in front of his companions, verse 9. We read that for he and all his companions, so they were in this boat and the other boat alongside, they saw it. But what's more, it was actually in front of his own business partners, verse 10. So were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Simon Peter was a fisherman. He had his own business. And his business was jointly owned with James and John. So the three of them owned this business. They were business partners. Now, can you imagine doing this at work? Well, that's what's happening here. He's in his workplace, and he's on his knees in front of Jesus. And he confesses to Jesus that he, Simon Peter, is a sinful man. At this point, he had no thought for his image or his reputation. He was so overcome with a sense of his own sinfulness and unworthiness, so ashamed of himself, that this seemed to be the only right thing to do, to fall at the knees of Jesus and admit, "I'm a sinful man." That is a major thing for anyone to do. It's a major thing for a man to do. Most men will never admit they're wrong. Some men won't even consult a map, let alone say, "I'm a sinful man." It's not the usual thing for a grown man to be doing on a boat in the Sea of Galilee. So we have to ask the question, why did Simon Peter do it? What led up to him falling on his knees before Jesus, confessing, "I am so sinful"? This is a dramatic admission to a sense of sin and shame. He's aware of his moral deficiency. Something major must have happened to him. What made him do it? Three things. First of all, Simon Peter had been listening to the word of God. He'd been listening to preaching. We see again in the first three verses that Jesus there is preaching the word of God. Look at the end of verse 1. The crowd were gathering around. They were listening to the word of God. The word of God. That means two things. That means the word about God and the word from God. The word of God tells us all about God. Well, as much about God as we can know in our fallen environment. So it tells us about his character and his kingdom and his eternity and judgment and our salvation. It tells us of his mercy, of his grace, of his righteousness, of redemption. God has so much for us to know, so much he wants to say to us. And Jesus is here preaching the word of God. This is all about God. But it's also the word that comes from God. This is God's word about himself. And therefore it comes with authority and force and command and power. And all the crowd were listening to this word of God as Jesus was preaching it. And the word of God had just searched them. And it had searched in particular Simon Peter. And it had exposed just how sinful Simon Peter really was. So that's what the word of God does to us. It searches the human soul. For the word of God is alive and it's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. The word of God penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. The word of God judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Sometimes Bible reading or listening to preaching can be a really uncomfortable experience. Why is that? Because God is getting through to us. And sometimes we can get really annoyed and cross with the preacher or with the Bible. And we can say, "I'm not reading that again. I'm not going there again to listen to that." Why? Well, because we're really clever at putting layer after layer upon ourselves to protect ourselves from God. So we put all these protective layers on ourselves. We can put our upbringing, and we say, well, that's good enough for us. So we can put religion on as a layer, so keeping God away, and we can just get engrossed in religion. Or we can put the layer of self-praise or self-sufficiency upon ourselves. The layer of time, saying, actually, we haven't got enough time for God. The layer of charity, I give to charity, I must be all right then. The layer of being helpful to our neighbours and to other people, we put that upon us and we say, I'm fine because I'm a helpful kind of person. Or the layer of niceness. He says, I'm a nice kind of person, so why do I need God? So all these layers are put upon ourselves and they are built up over the years. And the longer we live, the more layers we put upon ourselves so that we keep God at a distance. But when you hear the word of God, each one of those layers are stripped away. And God cuts through the layers of self-sufficiency and self-praise and every other layer we put upon ourselves to reveal what's in our hearts. For the word of God judges our thoughts and our attitudes. Tells us what we're really like. And though we can get annoyed and irritated, yet if we're wise, we'll submit to God. And here's Simon Peter that day on the Sea of Galilee listening to the word of God. And it got right through to his sinful heart. It's one of the first things. Second thing is this. Simon Peter experienced that day the power of God. The power of God. In verses 4 to 8, you've got a miracle. Let me just read that miracle again, because stunning. Now, all miracles are stunning, obviously. Verse 4, but when he had finished speaking, Jesus said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. It's almost like a parable on Simon's life. He was always in deep water, that guy. Verse 5, Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. You know what Simon Peter is saying there? He's saying, look, okay, I'm the guy that does the fishing. I got a fishing business. I'm the master fisherman here. And we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught a thing. I tell you, there's no fish catching tonight. So, you know, we've done this. I know exactly where to fish. I know this lake. So, Master, what are you saying? But you're saying it because you say so. I will let down the nets. You know, sometimes we think we know more than God. And then we have to humble ourselves and say, Lord, because you say so, I will do it. I don't understand this. Simon Peter didn't understand why he had to do this. We've worked hard all night. We haven't caught a thing. It's no good putting the nets down. But you tell me to. Because you say so, I will. And often we have to come to God with that attitude. Lord, I don't understand what you're telling me, but I know what you're telling me. And because you say so, I'll do it. So he does. Now look what happened. Verse 6, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish, their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. This was a spectacular, dramatic action on the Sea of Galilee. It was high drama and it was a demonstration of the power of God. Simon Peter couldn't catch a thing that night, but at the command of Jesus, he catches so many fish that the boats can't take it. And the power of God was evident there in the Sea of Galilee. And the power of God humbled Peter and showed Peter just how small he really was. And Peter realized at this point that there was something more than human power going on here. Something more than human expertise and skill and learning and apprenticeship. No, here was a demonstration of divine power. And at this point, Peter felt small, humbled, weak, and powerless. But that wasn't Peter. You see, Peter was a strong man. He was this leader of this business firm that we've been saying. Now, you don't get to be a leader in business without having some kind of strength. A leader has to make decisions. A leader takes knocks. To be a leader in the business world, then you've got to have emotional resilience, mental strength, and sometimes physical energy and strength as well. It's sometimes a mad world out there. To be a leader, you've got to have determination, all kinds of things to be a leader. And Simon Peter was a leader. So he was a strong man. Indeed, Simon Peter would have stood up to anyone before. But now he's falling on his knees. Peter was used to standing up to people. But now he's come against a power greater than himself. I wonder if you've ever witnessed the power of God. Oh, you say, well, I've never seen a miracle. Oh, think again. You know how many Christians there are in this building this morning? It's over 150 Christians. Each one of those Christians has experienced the power of God in their lives. Power to raise them from spiritual death, to bring them to spiritual life. That is power. Because nothing else can do that. In heaven or on earth, nothing can buy that. You can't purchase it. You can't get it from eBay. You can't get it from anywhere. It's the power of God that makes people Christians. And some people's testimonies, it's like they come from the guttermost to the uttermost. You say, how did that happen? Only God. There are other people who have become Christians. They've, you know, lived a fairly good life, but they still become Christians. And the power of God has worked just as much in their life as anyone else's life. Every Christian is a walking miracle. You've witnessed the power of God. You see it all around you. Don't close your eyes to it. Realize what God can do. I mean, catching all this fish was really easy compared to making someone a Christian. Simon Peter then, he saw the power of God. He heard the word of God. With those two things, then the holiness of God convicted him deeply. He was in the same boat as the master. Jesus, majestic, pure, undefiled, morally right, holy. Peter, weak, poor, pitiful, morally wrong, sinful. The contrast is frightening. But Peter saw himself as he really was. Stripped of any image his business may have given him. Any masks he'd put upon himself had been peeled off. Any illusions he had about himself were now crashing around him. His heart was exposed. He saw himself as a sinful man, and his soul was naked before God. And he was ashamed. Like Adam and Eve, his forefathers and our forefathers in the Garden of Eden, once they knew they were sinners, they were ashamed and covered themselves. And we've been doing the same ever since with all our coverings. But the word of God removes them. So our soul is naked before him. And once we realize our sin and our nakedness before God, we're ashamed. And Simon Peter knew he was not worthy to be in the same boat as Jesus. Not worthy at all. So Simon Peter says to Jesus, go away. Go away. Look at his words in verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. I am a sinful man. He says, not just I've done sinful things, but I'm a sinful man. It's not just that I've taken wrong decisions, dodgy decisions in the past, but through and through I'm a sinful man. It's not just that I might have cheated the customers here and there once now and again in my life, but no, I'm a sinful man. Everything about me is sinful. It's not just I've got sinful actions and I do bad things. No, I do those bad things because I'm bad. I do sinful actions because I'm sinful. We're not sinners because we do sinful things. We do sinful things because we're sinners. And Simon Peter knows he's a sinful man. And he has to confess this. And he feels it. He knows the whole truth about himself. Do we know the whole truth about ourselves? One journalist writing an investigative story about some politician who'd been up to some naughty business. This journalist wrote, the whole truth about any one of us is enough to shock all of us. Because we hide. But you can't hide from God. And Simon Peter wasn't hiding from God because he couldn't. I am a sinful man. So his response to this being a sinful man is there's only one solution to this problem. I'm sinful and Jesus, you're not sinful. So Simon Peter's solution is go away. go away from me. Adam and Eve, they hid amongst the trees. But Simon Peter is saying to Jesus, I can't stand this. Go away. He felt disqualified to be in the Lord's presence. What does Jesus do? Jesus says that wonderful two-letter word that children learn so early. No. No. In fact, Jesus does the very opposite. Verse 10. Halfway through verse 10. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. What an encouragement. Simon Peter was trembling. Don't be afraid. Simon Peter was saying, go away. And Jesus was saying, I'm staying. And I'm staying with you. And I'm encouraging you. And I've got a purpose for you. And a promise for your future. From now on, you will do something far greater than catching fish. You will catch people. And on the day of Pentecost, Simon Peter got up and preached. And 3,000 people were caught, were saved. And Simon Peter never dreamed of that in his wildest dreams. See, this is the upside down nature of the kingdom of God. Simon Peter feels he is unworthy of being in the presence of Jesus. And that actually was the very thing that qualified him for being in the presence of Jesus. His unworthiness. See, if you feel yourself to be worthy of God, if you think yourself you're generally an okay kind of person, an all right kind of woman and man, then God actually says to you, okay, get on with it then. If you think you're all right, you cope without me. Fine, have it your way, I'll go. But the moment that you feel yourself to be unworthy of God, that you have messed up your life, that you've made some really big mistakes and had some terrible moral failures, that you feel yourself to be sinful, the moment that you confess that, I am a sinful woman, I am a sinful man, the moment you say that, then Jesus says, yep, but I can forgive your sin and I'm staying. Follow me. Jesus put it this way. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So if we think we're healthy and righteous, God says, go on then, get on with it. But if we know ourselves to be a sinner, then God says, I'll save you. And Simon Peter acknowledged that day that he was sinful. Hence, Jesus gave him the opportunity to take the next step in his relationship with God. Look at verse 11 as we close. Verse 11. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. And then the words at the end of verse 10, from now on, you will fish for people. From now on. And that's the great thing. From now on. Once you realize that you're a sinner in the presence of a spotless Savior, you think it's the end. Simon Peter thought, the boat's sinking. I haven't got a hope here. It's the end. There is no from now on. This is it. But Jesus actually says there's a future. From now on. And you know, there is a future for you with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is always a future with him. And Jesus asks us to take the next step to follow him. The next step to live from now on for him. And I just want to ask you at what stage you are at in your relationship with God. Maybe you're a churchgoer. You've got a religious background. You've got some idea of Christianity, a Christian upbringing. But you're not fully committed to him. You're not born again. You've never said, from now on, I will follow you. Then this morning, why not take the next step in your relationship with Jesus? Do you know what that next step might look like? For you, it might look like baptism. Baptism. You've never been baptized. You said, I'll think about it. But you always put it off for one reason or another, and you won't get baptized. Don't know why you won't get baptized, but you won't get baptized. Maybe your next step is to say, I'm going to declare that I'm a Christian in public. I'm going to be baptized. That might be your next step. Or it might be that your next step is, you've been coming along to church, you're a Christian, but you're not involved. church life. Maybe your next step is, where can I serve around here? Or I want to join a small group so that I can find out more about this Christian faith. Or maybe your next step is getting serious about spiritual disciplines, prayer, Bible reading, witnessing, all kinds of next steps. Maybe your next step is finding out more about what it means to be a Christian. Now, I know I've bombarded you this morning with leaflets and booklets and all kinds of things. One more. Because this is just simply the best thing I've ever come across. The word one-to-one. And why is it the best thing? It's because if you're thinking about becoming a Christian, then this booklet actually just takes you through John's Gospel. It's in a few sections. This is simply booklet number one. And once again, it means you can go away, you can read the text of the Bible, and then I'll meet up with you. And we can ask, how did you get on with that text? What are the questions? And some of the questions and explanations are down here. And you know, I would love, absolutely love, I would cancel Christmas to meet up with you. My daughters just look horrified. To meet up with you and just to say, let's go through this book. We can meet in a coffee bar, we can meet in a pub, we can meet in a kitchen, in the lounge, by the river, anywhere. Just to talk about this. And if you're thinking of becoming a Christian, you want to know more of what it means to follow Jesus Christ, then I would love to meet with you and just go through this with you. I'd love to do that. So maybe that's the next step for you. Just taking the Christian life a little bit more seriously, following more about Jesus, finding out more about Jesus. Or, finally, why wait? Why not become a Christian this morning? Right here, right now. You mean, you've heard the word of God, and what's the word of God said? Well, it hasn't patted you on the back saying, you're okay, I'm okay. The word of God says, you're a sinner, and I'm a sinner. But the word of God said, there's power. There's power to save us sinners. And the word of God says, there's the majesty and the holiness of God that actually in Christ we can approach. So this morning, right here and now, you can acknowledge the truth about yourself and the truth about your God. And you can say, from now on, I will follow Jesus. That day for Simon Peter started off as ordinary as any other day. But then he met Jesus Christ. He knew himself to be sinful. And he left everything to follow Jesus. Maybe we need to do so too. This last hymn is a hymn that we haven't sung for quite a while. It's quite a long hymn. But it's a very moving hymn and it's one to respond to. Just as I am without one plea, but that you die to set me free. And at your bidding come to me. O Lamb of God, I come.